John the Baptist was in the River Jordan, and he was baptizing all of these people that were like sinful background, bad backgrounds, Yakuza, gangsters, Portuguese, and all of these people we were baptizing. And then Jesus enters the Jordan River, and John the Baptist tried to prevent him, saying, "We don't need to do this." Here's what Jesus was saying. "John, to you, this might seem like a real small thing, but to my Father in heaven, what you think is small is huge."
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Today, a message Pastor Wayne gave on an anniversary Sunday. It's a message entitled, "The Small Beginnings of Big Change." Pastor Wayne will show us that it's not necessarily the big things that we do that impresses God. Sometimes it's the small acts of kindness, the small gestures that capture his attention. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, "The Small Beginnings of Big Change."
Mark 4, the kingdom of God is defined by a mustard seed, which is the smallest of seeds, but when this teeny, teeny little seed is planted, it brings forth the largest bush of its kind, and the birds of the air come and make their nest in it. And all of a sudden, like a light went click, I thought, the kingdom of God is huge, but you don't enter it through huge doors. You enter it through really small ways. There's small beginnings that make huge changes. And then I was reading in Zechariah, and he said the same thing, and I wrote at the top of your notes, let's read it together, and you'll see what it says, Zechariah 4:10. Let's read it, go. "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." Now notice he says, don't despise small beginnings, because God rejoices to see his work begin. Huh? How does your work start? Through small entries, small gestures, small beginnings. Yeah, but God, we got to do something big. Small things, small. Because if you do big things, you think you need to get the credit. But if you do small things and I build it, then you don't get filled with pride and God alone gets the glory. You enter the kingdom through small ways. Isn't it true? Think about it. What causes a marriage to go down? Dumb little words, little teeny words that cut, little comments, little asides, little sarcastic remarks. What builds a marriage? Little words of love and appreciation and thankfulness. A little note here, a little thing given there, a little favor given here, a little gift given here. And all of a sudden you think, wow, what a great marriage. It's the kingdom of God is built or can be destroyed by small things. So I said, well, Lord, what are some of the things that we can be involved in? And I thought, you know, big things, some people say, well, I can't sing, I can't dance, I can't preach. Well, this way, everybody can be involved in this. Everybody can be a part of the kingdom of God if we'll do these three things. Let me give you three ways. Here it is. The first is this. As we embark on a new season, number one, everybody can be a part of small gestures. Would you write that in? The kingdom of God will be advanced in small gestures. That mustard seed way. We've all been a part of where a word can tear you down or a word can build you up. You can't see it, but when the little kids go out the side, there's like a gauntlet of us over there hugging them, saying, "Great job, wonderful, you're so sweet, thank you so much." One little girl came out and I put her face in my hand and I said, "You are so pretty." And she just went, and you know, I thought, wouldn't it be great if just in a small word, took us less than 4 seconds, but it gives them a self-esteem, a sense of confidence, a sense of value, a sense that I'm loved, so that when they grow to be 14 and 15 years old, they're not seeking for that affirmation in wrong places. And something of that young lady's personality, confidence, self-esteem, sense like I'm valued, happens in small beginnings, a mustard seed, then the kingdom of God starts to blossom in her, and she becomes the young lady of poise and confidence that God wants her to become. Starts with small things. You can see that in the book of Proverbs. Let's read what it says here in Proverbs chapter 12. Go. Anxiety in a man's heart will weigh it down, but a good word makes it glad. Would you circle good word? Not a good treatise or a good sermon or a good proclamation or a good counseling. No, a good what? One word, just a word, a note, a phone call. I cannot tell you how many times one note has helped me so much. Where just someone to take time and just write a little note. When I was in just about to go to Bible college, I was in church and at this church in Portland, Oregon, and I was going to travel 100 miles south to enter into Bible college, and I'd come out of a horrible background. I was so afraid of going to this Christian place called Bible college. Thought, oh man, only angels and cherubim and seraphim go there. And here I am, a fallen angel, going over there. I thought, oh no. And so I was so afraid. And just in the middle of the service, this tall lady, and I just remember her name as Sister Jones. I don't even know her first name. We just called everybody by sister and brother at those days. And Sister Jones just turned around and handed me a little note. And it just said this, "Dear Wayne, I will be your prayer partner while you're in Bible college. That's my commitment, and I will be on my knees every day for you." I kept that note in my Bible for 4 years. Just a little note. And whenever I wanted to quit, whenever I wanted to drop out, I would look at that note and I would say to myself, I cannot drop out. I cannot quit because there's a lady on her knees today praying for me. I cannot leave. And God used that one little note to help me to overcome, rise above all of those things that would have disqualified me. A word. You see, the kingdom of God is built in simple ways. In fact, would you write it down in the next bullet there? Small steps are what the kingdom is made of. Small steps. Small things. Remember in Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist was in the River Jordan, and he was baptizing all of these people that were like sinful background, bad backgrounds, Yakuza, gangsters, Portuguese, and all of these people we were baptizing, trying to get rid of their background. And then Jesus, the sinless Son of God, enters the Jordan River. And John the Baptist looks up, and the Bible says he recognized that this was the Lamb of God. And Jesus said, I've come to be baptized by you. And John said, no. And in fact, the Bible says it this way. And John the Baptist tried to prevent him, saying, we don't need to do this. In other words, John was saying, I shouldn't be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me. And Lord, for me to baptize you, it's like no big deal. We don't need, it's unnecessary. And Jesus says something that was really interesting. Let's read it in our notes and you'll see. Would you read it with me? Go. But Jesus, answering, said to him, "Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he permitted him. In the English version, it says, "Let it be so for now, for in this way we shall do all that God requires." Requires of what? Here's what Jesus was saying. John, to you, this might seem like a real small thing. But to my Father in heaven, what you think is small is huge. So please, do it at this time. For in doing so, it is fitting to fulfill all righteousness. Or in other words, something of the righteousness of the kingdom will be fit into place. My Father's plan will be ignited into motion. Something of God's kingdom will begin right here in this place with this small thing. So please do it, because in doing so, you ignite my Father's work into motion. I look at our marriage, Anna's and my marriage, and what has kept it vibrant and strong? I was thinking, was it big things? No. Big gifts, big purchases? No. I mean, I'd let her go to Ross and shop, but that's about it. And we've been married for 90 years or so. It's a long time. But I think, what is it that keeps our relationship fun and we're friends and we laugh together and it's buoyant and vivacious? What is it? What is it? And I think about it. And my wife is really good at the small things. A little note she'll put in my bag before I go and travel somewhere, or she just kind of reminded us every time before we hang up the phone, she makes sure she says to me or my kids, "I love you, I love you, I love you too, love you too." And after a while, I think, you don't need to say that, you already know, but we say it. And it's those little things that remind us. When I go out in the morning, even if it's early in the morning, she'll wait by the door, and I'll walk down the hall. And when I turn, she kind of blows me a kiss, you know, and oh, and then you go out and I'm thinking sometimes I'm too old for this, but I'm not. Nobody is. It's the small things that keeps God's kingdom in our family vibrant and alive. And that's why Jesus said to John the Baptist, it might seem like a small thing to you, but my Father delights to see his work begin in small beginnings. So just do it. Just do it. And when he did, as soon as Jesus came out of the water, bang, what happened? Do you remember? The heavens opened up and the Father's voice said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." The Father's work began on this earth. Through what? Big things? Teeny things. Teeny things. Some time ago, I was going by Kaiser Hospital, and you get this little thought in your mind. I remember someone was in there that had been in for a while, and I thought, oh, one of these days I need to just stop and say hi. But I asked too small. I'll go to another day. And as I was driving by, it just stayed on my heart, and I went by the hospital, and I thought, maybe I should go. And then I start rationalizing, you know, we've got such, and by the way, we do. We've got a great hospital ministry. And I said, Lord, our hospital ministry is so great. They go and pray for people. And when they pray, man, people get healed. When I pray, they die. So, Lord, you don't want me. And I just kept driving. And then, but it was still on my heart. So I thought, it's not that big of a deal, but okay. And I swung back around and went to Kaiser. And when I went into the room, and the dear is an elderly lady, and she just started weeping and weeping and weeping. She said, I was just thinking about you. I was listening to this radio program, and I thought, man, it'd be so neat to just say hi to you. And here you are. She just started crying and crying. So I prayed for her. And the cool thing was when I went out, the guy in the next cubicle said, hey, think you can pray for me too? So I said, yeah, I guess so. So I prayed for him. And then when I was about ready to leave, he's like, excuse me, my cousin is down the hallway. Can you pray for him? 329, room 329. So I said, yeah, okay. So I think I prayed for four or five people before I got out of there. And till this day, I laugh because I don't know what has happened. But somehow, just in a small way, I was able to plant mustard seeds in four or five people's lives. And I'll only know in heaven, when we arrive in heaven, but that the kingdom of God may have started in their life here and began in this one here and started in this one here. By big things? Really small things. That's where the kingdom of God begins. And we've got so much information, we think, well, we'll just gather more information. It's time to let it be leaked out so the kingdom of God can start all over Hawaii. I remember, you know, New Hope people, we hug everything within 20 yards of us. Isn't that right? Telephone poles, you know, trees, cars going by. And we just hug everything. And it was the third year that we were here. And I remember some big burly guy came up to me and said, if you quit this girly stuff of us hugging everybody, maybe we would come more often. So I thought, okay, yeah, all right. And I remember thinking about it all that week, thinking maybe I should discourage it, not say anything, just, you know. And it was almost as if God planted this real special lady. She came and met me out here where I usually stand. And it was like she read my mind. She looked straight in my eye and she said, don't make us stop hugging. So I said, why? She said, my husband has not been a Christian. He's been coming to church with us over the last 3 months or so. And then she said this, and I've never forgotten it. She said, and that's the only time during the week he hugs me. And then she said this, and my children come, and he's starting to hug them. And this is what she said. Here's the kicker. And it's starting to heal our marriage and our family. Small thing. And boy, when she said that, I thought, we're going to hug more now. You see, the kingdom of God has entered, begun, ignited in people's lives. Through big evangelists? No. Through what we can do. Small gestures. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. But not only in small gestures, but would you write in number two, small involvements. I mean, small involvements. Because it's a small involvement that builds the kingdom. One life at a time. Once Mother Teresa was asked, "What's your goal in life?" She said, "To reach the whole world and tell them about Jesus Christ." And the guy said, "That's a huge vision. How do you start? Where do you start?" She said, "You start with the face that Jesus puts in front of you every day." I thought, that's it, isn't it? That's where the kingdom starts. And it's not being involved in stuff you have to train for and have a bunch of certificates for. Every one of us can be involved in that. I mean, doors that God opens right before us. Obvious needs outside, right here. Someone that seems like they're lost. "Hey, can I help you?" A mother with two children, kind of like looking around for the Sunday school. "Hey, could I help?" Right over here. Somebody, just anything. They're obvious needs that you don't need training for. You just need to step in and get involved with. Small involvements. We see that in Luke 10 with the Good Samaritan. You remember that? There's a guy that needed help. Three people went by. The first kind of went around and thought, "Hey, someone should help this guy." And then they took off. The second guy thought, "Hey, where's the people that help these people? What's the matter with the government?" Whatever. And they went off. And the third one was a Samaritan, thought, "Well, it's obvious this guy needs help. I'm not going to wait for him or her who's trained to do it. I'm just going to help." And then when it was done, Jesus summarizes it. And let's read what he says here under number 2, Luke 10. Go. "Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands?" And he said, "The one who showed mercy to him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do the same." Yeah, the obvious things of just being involved in a little way. Like how? This morning, the band Salvador is with us, and they... You know, musicians don't get up till noon or 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And so when we said New Hope's first service is 7 o'clock, you could, like, is there a 7 before p.m.? You mean there's another 7? Yeah, a.m. Oh, no, that means they have to come in at 6 or 5:30. Well, you know, they're just sleeping. And we for some reason, weren't able to get some coffee. And one of the volunteers in the church said she was just going by the coffee place and felt, "Hey, let's get coffee for them. I bet they could use some coffee," without even being asked. It's just, let's just be involved in a small way. I can do that. And so she bought a couple of coffee things, and when she brought them in, their eyes got real big. "Oh, man, this is like heaven." Well, I can't remember, but anyway, it's one of my favorite songs. And so, but I was thinking, you know, it's just hospitality. There was a guy in the Old Testament whose name was Barzillai. Now, at the end of his life, David, King David now, this the greatest king Israel had ever seen, mentions him almost like in his last breath, and he summarizes his life and calls Barzillai a very great man. Now, David had all kinds of generals and military experts around him, but he calls this guy a very great man. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to study to see what made him great in David's eyes. So I turned back to the previous chapters in 2 Samuel to see what made him very great man in David's eyes. And you know what I found out? He wasn't a great military expert. When David was forced out of his throne by Absalom, David, not wanting to fight in return, decides to just quietly retreat into the hills for a while. And in his haste, they didn't take any food. Well, when he went across the Jordan, there's a man named Barzillai. Here's what the Bible said. When he went by, he said to David, "I cannot fight for you. I'm not a warrior, but I can be hospitable." And so he said, "David, come. Here's some," and he gave banana bread, Portuguese sweet bread, gave him some, you know, different things like that, and pickled mango, and he went off. That's true. Listen to this. Here it is. Barzillai, the Gileadite, brought to David wheat and flour, grains and beans and cheese for David and for the people who were with him to eat. That was it. And then later on in his life, it is summarized in 2 Samuel 19. Let's read it under number 2, what it says of Barzillai. Go. "Now Barzillai was very old, being 80 years old, and he had sustained the king, for he was a very great man." That's all he did, give him food that sustained the king. Here's what it's saying. Would you write in the bullets, simply being hospitable made him great? Hospitable. Do you know how in God's eyes hospitable people are valued, how high in God's eyes they're valued. We have lost this thing of hospitality and being hospitable to one another. And how God is saying, that's what I prize. And those small little gestures, small little involvements make you a very great person. Listen, you may believe that your small visit to your sick friend doesn't make much of a difference. Let me tell you, that mustard seed will ignite the kingdom of God in his or her life, or maybe a nurse's life, or another person's life watching. Never underestimate small beginnings, for it is there that the Father delights his work to begin. You may think the small class that you're teaching isn't worth your time, but maybe in that little small class is the beginnings of a Billy Graham or a beginnings of a great leader you don't know. And the kingdom of God begins. You might think, oh, my little tithe check is too small. I only work for minimum wage, and so it's not much. So I don't know. Little do you know that something of God's kingdom is being fit into place as you obey God, even in the small things. It does something in you for your future. And maybe it's a mindset that's starting to develop that's wrong, but as I give, it corrects it. God's kingdom is fitted into your life, and it could save you thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars in the future by making mistakes because of a greedy mind. What you don't know is when you're doing these small things, something of the kingdom of God's righteousness is being fit into place in your life, and it's igniting something far beyond what you can see. Don't despise a day of small beginnings, he says, for there the work begins and God delights in it. The kingdom of God is built on small involvements. You know, one of the memories that I remember the most of our early days was we have lots of equipment that's lots of money. And in the first days, we didn't have money to hire security. So we would set up on a Saturday night and then services on Sunday morning. And we'd be a little concerned because the schools we used to use didn't have motion detectors and cameras and surveillance and alarms. We just had to lock it up with chains and hope that no one breaks through the jealousy windows. And one night someone did and took a bunch of our equipment. And so we were very cautious, and we had set up some extra equipment and some video things. And all that night I thought, oh, I don't know what we're going to do, Lord, because we don't have money for security and all of these Freeman guards and police, which like we have now. And I don't know what to do. God, I don't know what we need to do. Maybe we need to take it down. And then just then one of the volunteers said, hey, we got it, Wayne. We got it. I said, no, we don't have money for guards. Said, no problem. We got it. I said, well, what are you going to do? He said, I've got three or four guys. We're going to sleep here tonight. I said, in the school, in the cafeteria, with cockroaches and stuff? They said, yep, we're going to sleep here. I said, no way. Yep, we're going to sleep among the instruments each week so that nobody will come in and bother it. I thought, no way. And you know, for the first couple of years, that's what our people did. That they couldn't sing or dance, or anything, but they could sleep with the instruments. And that's what they did. They just put their beds right there. They had these little army cots, and a bunch of them just did that each week. They just changed off, and I look back, and I think, small involvements like that. Now, that's the heart that made the church. It's small involvements that started the kingdom of God growing in this place. That's the kind of hearts that we never want to lose in this next season. In fact, we want to gain back and be there again. So the kingdom of God can be ignited through small involvements. And by the way, one of those people who slept with the instruments with Elwin was Elwin Ahu. And so you see people like that, their hearts for the ministry is huge. Is it a big thing? No. In fact, we asked him to sleep with the instruments because he can't sing nor dance. So that's his gift. But I believe that God wants the kingdom of God to move in a strong way in Hawaii. And I believe that we were born for such a time as this. That God has given us much information, but not to have that substitute action. Instead, God is saying, now, take it in small mustard seed ways. And to you, it's going to seem small. But to my Father in heaven, it is absolutely huge. And so here is what God is saying to us. Let's be people of mustard seed faith. And you watch. You wait. You'll see the greatest years lie ahead. ahead of us. Amen. Amen. Let's do that. Let's do that.
You have just heard a message entitled The Small Beginnings of Big Change by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We would like to encourage you to visit our website where you'll find other helpful resources from Pastor Wayne, including his messages by podcast. Just go to www.enewhope.org. You'll find his books, videos, music, and much, much more. Again, that address, enewhope.org. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.